Hi, everybody. I'm Lacey.
I'm Bailey.
And I'm Drew.
And we're sarcastic, so let's get sinister.
Hey.
Drew, did you put echo cancellation on?
Not for you.
Hmm.
Why?
Just wondering.
Do you hear is there an echo?
No.
Okay.
I mean, usually I see the little tab like lit up, but it wasn't. So anyway.
I usually turn yours on because, I also forgot noise reduction. I was too distracted by the betrayal.
Me, I betrayed.
Who betrayed you, Drew?
Lacey.
Oh. What'd she do?
She stole my case.
Oh. It's almost like we should have, like, a spreadsheet for this type of thing.
Like a list for people to sign up for what they want to do.
Like a living document that, like, Google Docs would be a great idea so we could all have access to it.
The only caveat, Bailey, would be we'd all have to participate and, like, look at it and sign up for shit.
I think you and I would do a great job at it, though.
You and I would do a great job.
Yeah.
Some other people might just completely ignore it.
Yeah, some people might forget it exists, even.
And then we run into a problem like this.
But hopefully, if that person forgot it existed and took somebody else's case, the other person wouldn't have already started researching, and then they wouldn't feel as bad.
You're lucky I have a lot on my plate.
There you go.
Like Lucky Charms.
Oh. I have a fun morbid fact before we get started.
Yes,
please. Okay.
So I was watching The Princess Bride the other night, and I happened upon a thought of, like, are these actors still alive and blah blah blah, and like I went into like a deep spiral of the cast. And you know Andre the Giant's in it? Yeah, you guys have seen it. So I was, like, looking into him, and obviously he's dead because he's big, and there's a cattail on the camera.
He was unhealthy.
Yeah. Well, no, just because when people are...
I think he had, like, some health issues that came along with him being so massive.
Anyway, so at the time of his death, when he was cremated... And his ashes weighed, do you want to guess how heavy they were?
50 pounds? I don't know. What's a normal weight?
The average ash.
Normal weight for, like, human remains, I think, is, like, 7 to 8 pounds.
40 pounds.
60. Okay. No, 80.
24.
Guys, hold on a second.
15. I'm going a different way.
2.
Following Drew's lead. No, I'm back to 80.
Okay.
You think
17,
you weigh 10
guys.
Pounds? No. Lacey, you think he weighs 10 times the average person?
He's a big guy. Very dead.
Yeah, but he wasn't 10 times bigger than everybody else.
Yeah, at this point I'm a little
let
down.
He also died in his sleep, which I thought was interesting, too. With, like, all of his health issues. Just passed away in his sleep nicely.
Nice.
Yeah.
Would you have rather he, like, die while he was driving?
No, like, I thought, like, based on his size and everything and his organs, like, I honestly, I think my first thought was, like, it's probably, like, a heart attack or something.
Well, he might have had a heart attack in his sleep.
Okay, well, all Google told me was that he died in his sleep.
I'm gonna believe it was peaceful.
Could you imagine an autopsy on him?
No. He'd be very busy.
Imagine how much, like, his heart weighs and stuff.
I think you'd have to do it on the floor. I don't know if there'd be a table big enough for him.
Rude. That feels disrespectful.
Well,
lay him out on a tarp.
That feels very dexterous.
That's for cleaning purposes.
Mm. But that's my morbid little fact.
Oh, interesting.
He died in Paris.
Yeah. He was French.
I don't know if I knew that.
I didn't.
I also learned recently because, do you guys This is going to turn into a little bit of a rant. Do you guys know of Hobby Lobby?
I do.
Yeah, of course.
So I went into Hobby Lobby thinking that, like, oh, they'll have their Halloween decorations out and, like, it'd be all, like, fun and cute and stuff. I go in and they have fall Thanksgiving decor and then Christmas. And I was like, what the fuck is going on here? Like, how do you just skip a major holiday?
They didn't. Halloween,
And
they had up in June.
no. I walked around thinking, and I was like texting back my best good friend. I was like, I bet like the CEO is like that like type of Christian that thinks that like Halloween is evil or some shit. And I Googled it, and they are, and they don't celebrate Halloween.
What a weird.
They don't stock it in their fucking store.
Hobby Lobby is weird.
I just think like Halloween is definitely like in the top five most popular holidays.
People go
You're like
crazy for
just
Halloween.
what?
So people go crazy for Halloween. They make a lot of
Legit.
money.
You're literally just pissing away money.
Yeah.
Yeah, but it's devil shit, so like if you want to go to hell, feel free to celebrate
Hobby
Halloween.
Lobby will not drive you there.
So, Lindsay, what case are we doing today?
Today, we'll explore the terrifying true story of Gerald and Charlene Gallego.
Oh.
Oh.
Drew, have you ever
So,
heard of this before?
two things. The pictures that we have up here.
Yeah.
First one looks photoshopped.
It does. It looks weird. He looks like a cutout. It looks like a woman on a cardboard cutout of a man.
Do
They
you
both
know?
look like that, though.
Yeah, it looks like how if you have a picture, like I think it's a new update that the iPhone does, where let me find you a picture. Okay, so like if I click him, I can like move him or like a little image of him around. I don't know. Can you see? I got a little image of him.
Vaguely. Yeah.
Yeah. And I can put him on like a different background. So that's what
Oh.
that looks like.
Oh.
Do you
And
think
then the
they had
second
iPhones
picture,
back then?
yes. The second picture, is he handcuffed with a cigarette?
Probably.
It's really stressful being handcuffed.
Yeah. You know, the least you could do is have a
Particularly
giant
like I can
cigarette.
assume.
He had a busy couple of years at this point.
Is this the same man and same woman?
Yes.
Gerald and
He
Charlene.
Gerald looks like he got a lot of weight in his face in the second photo.
Yeah, and I think the mustache makes his whole face look different too.
I thought you were gonna say yeah, I think he got a mustache too. Yeah. He also it looks like he's got a very he definitely has like a specific taste in ties.
Yes, stripes is the taste.
Stripes are
Stripes
slimming.
sideways. Like
In the same direction, too.
slanted, yeah. It's his thing.
Huh.
Right, Lacey, tell us about Gerald
Right,
and Charlene.
Gerald and Charlene were a seemingly ordinary couple whose partnership in life spiraled into a shared madness, resulting in one of the most horrifying killing sprees in American history, and who became known as the sex slave killers. To understand how these two came together to create such a destructive force, we must first look into their early lives. Gerald Armand Gallego was born on July 17, 1946, in Sacramento, California,
His
into a
middle name
life
was
of
Armand.
Armand, into a life of violence and dysfunction. From the start, his environment was toxic. His mother, who had full custody of Gerald, was a sex worker, and she and her clients would beat and occasionally sexually abuse Gerald. He was usually dirty, and he often begged for hugs. His father, a hardened criminal, was the first man executed in Mississippi's gas chamber in 1955 after being convicted of killing two police officers. I've
Oh,
read
that's
different
exciting.
stories. Yeah, I read different stories about how he killed them. One version says it was a like a bank robbery, and the other version said he was already in jail and it was during an attempted escape. So, I don't know. Either way, he was punished for it. Gerald was a young boy at the time and had never even met his father, so he was never involved in his life. Gerald's own criminal tendencies showed early. He committed his first known felony at the age of 10 when he was arrested for robbing a neighbor's house. At the age of 12, he sexually assaulted a 6-year-old girl and was sent to a youth facility. By the time he was in his early 20s, he had been arrested multiple times, racking up charges ranging from robbery to sexual assault, and had served some jail time. Gerald was a man with a deep sense of entitlement, especially when it came to sex. Throughout his life, he demonstrated a twisted desire to dominate women with no regard for their lives. He had a total of 7 marriages, 2 to the same woman, and had a habit of leaving when his wives ran out of money.
I have a comment.
Yes.
He looks like he thinks that he's entitled and better than everyone else.
That track. You like the 2 marriages to the same woman.
How did he end up going back? Did she get more money and then he just like was like, oh, okay.
I feel like that must have been it because he left when they would run out of money.
Oh my god.
He maybe came into inheritance and he was like, oh, damn it, Mary. Try it again. So, rough start to Gerald, for Gerald, and it seemed like he never really had any kind of path laid out in front of him that wasn't criminal.
You know, I would say that's more than rough, but yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. Charlene Adele Williams, born on October 10th, 1956, had a far different upbringing. Charlene grew up in a relatively stable middle-class family, enjoying a childhood that many would describe as privileged. Her father was a vice president of a supermarket chain, and he and his wife, Mercedes, often traveled for his business dealings. After Mercedes was in a bad car accident, Charlene started traveling with her father instead. She was a shy, soft-spoken young lady with dreams of a normal life, marriage, children, and success. Her father's clients were impressed by how intelligent and well-spoken she was, but something shifted as Charlene grew older. She became rebellious, addicted to drugs, and began a series of troubled relationships. She was so flirty with her male co-workers that she was generally disliked at work and gained a reputation as a sex addict. Her growing insecurities led her to crave validation from controlling men. Her first marriage was to a wealthy young man with a heroin addiction. He would later say that Charlene frequently begged him to have a threesome with a prostitute. That marriage failed, not because of the heroin or the begging for threesomes, but because her husband hated how Charlene's parents interfered constantly in their marriage. Next, she married a soldier who she soon became bored with.
Sorry. You know, the sex addiction and the heroin, minor things.
Yeah.
But you can't you can't have anyone else in your relationship. Yeah,
too much. Soon after... Oh, next, she married a soldier who she soon became bored with and divorced. Nothing exciting there. After this divorce, she began an affair with a married man who ended the affair when Charlene asked for a threesome with his wife. Which was his line in the sand, you know?
Charlene just seems bored.
I think Charlene really wants to have sex with women.
Maybe she and should just go for
and
it.
And she's like, oh, I guess...
I need a man there.
Yeah. Has to be a man, but, like, I really want to try a lady.
Nice
comment, Drew.
Well, I was gonna say, you guys moved on to something else, so I was gonna comment about how the fact that he didn't want to have a threesome with his wife, probably because then she'd find out about the affair.
Yeah, I think that's a fair bet.
And then, what year are we in, Lacey?
We are in the, I think, like, the early 70s. She was born in 56. So we're probably into the 70s.
Wasn't that, like, free love or whatever?
For some people. I think that, like, there was a movement, but I don't think it was
what
still...
What state are we in?
Popular. California.
Oh.
I'm trying to, like, understand the psychology, like.
I think even at the time period, even if you had supportive people around you, it was still a, like, social taboo, so I could see people suppressing it hard and be like,
California,
it's okay.
How can they judge?
Yeah. So after this breakup, the married man breakup, Charlene attempted suicide but survived. And soon after this, she met Gerald, who was unlike anyone she had encountered before. They met at a poker club in Sacramento in 1977. Gerald was still married to somebody else. But within a week, he and Charlene moved in together. I did not get any further information about like when he divorced the woman that he was with, but at some point, he did divorce her and marry Charlene. Okay. They had a very dominant, submissive relationship in which Charlene took part in Gerald's deviant fantasies. She would later claim that it was painful and that she detested the sexual experiences with Gerald. I do not believe her. Sorry, but like, really not. By all accounts, the two could not get enough of each other. A few months later, Gerald came home one day with a 16-year-old exotic dancer, and Charlene finally got her threesome. Although Gerald insisted the two women could only touch him and not each other. Okay. Afterwards, Gerald left for his bartending job, and when he came home, he found Charlene and the dancer having sex. In his rage, he threw the girl out an open window and then beat Charlene. After this, he refused to have sex with her. She was convinced that he was instead sleeping with women who patronized the bar where he worked, but she didn't leave. She wanted to know what she could do to get back in his good graces. During this time, Gerald would also occasionally assault his 14-year-old daughter and her 16-year-old friend with Charlene's knowledge. After several months, he told Charlene he needed sex slaves to keep him happy and asked her to help him find them.
I didn't know that he had a daughter.
Yeah, she was only mentioned in that it was later learned he would sexually abuse her and her one friend.
That is disgusting.
Yeah. Just an extra level of horrendous. So, he needs sex slaves. Charlene is like, okay, finally, something I can do to make him happy with me again. So together, Gerald and Charlene became a chilling force, one that would take the lives of at least 10 young victims in a spree that lasted from 1978 to 1980. The Gallegos hunting grounds were the cities and highways of California and Nevada, where they sought out vulnerable young women. Their primary targets were teenagers, although we will see that their victims do get older as they go. Their first suspected victim was 16-year-old Sandra K. Butler. Sandra's mom had given her permission to bike over to the Washoe County Fairgrounds in Reno, Nevada. She was last seen in Sparks, Nevada, which is about a 5-minute car ride away from Reno, from the fairgrounds. She was treated as a runaway, and her body has never been found. Gerald and Charlene were at the Washoe County Fairgrounds that day, and we'll see later why they are suspected of her murder. Their first known victims were Rhonda Scheffler and Kippy Vaught, both 17 years old, who they abducted on September 11th, 1978. The girls were shopping at Sacramento's Country Club Plaza when they ran into Charlene. Charlene convinced them to get into the back of Gerald's van, where Gerald was waiting with a gun. He restrained them and then drove about an hour away to a remote location in Baxter, California. He spent the night sexually assaulting both girls. The couple then drove the girls back to a spot outside Sacramento. Gerald ordered the girls to cross a field and get in a ditch, where he beat them both with a tire iron before shooting them. Afterward, they buried the bodies in a shallow grave. Later, Charlene would tell a cellmate that she felt ecstatic watching Gerald kill the girls. Thoughts?
I'm sure she was just a victim.
Oh, yeah.
She sounds manipulated by him and not a willing participant.
Certainly not. I'm sure we'll see as we go on how she fought to get out of the situation.
Yeah. If anything, it feels like Stockholm syndrome. And just gee whiz, like, poor Charlene.
What was she to
Gee
do?
whiz.
Gee whiz. What was she exactly, Lacey? What was she to do?
What was she to do? There
If
are
she fought
obviously
back, she could have
instances.
been in that ditch too.
Yeah.
She had to lure them into the car.
She was very good at
Anyway.
it. She was very good at luring girls into their van.
Of course, because she's a woman.
On June 24th, 1979, 9 months later, the couple abducted 14-year-old Brenda Judd and 13-year-old Sandra Colley from the Washoe County Fair in Reno, Nevada. Charlene told the girl she had flyers in the back of her van and that she would pay them to help pass them out. Once the girls were restrained, Charlene took the wheel and watched in the rearview mirror as Gerald assaulted the girls while she drove. Once she parked, Gerald took a break and watched as Charlene forced the girls to perform acts on each other. When she was finished, Gerald took both girls to a nearby dry stream bed where he beat them to death with a shovel. Gerald then buried the girls in a large pit, which he covered with a rock. Both girls were considered runaways at the time. Later, during the trial, Charlene would inform authorities about what she and Gerald had done. However, the girls' bodies were not found until 1999. She's still probably a victim.
It seems like she needs fucking help.
Yeah.
She, like, I'm confused with how she got so obsessed with sex.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know. I'll come back to her later, because I have a theory that I'm like, about, but let me get through our victims first.
Yeah.
So, April 24th, 1980. I wrote 19 months later. That sounds wrong. That has to be. It's less than a year. Must have been 9 months later. Gerald and Charlene were on the hunt again. They noticed Stacy Ann Redican and Karen Chipman Twiggs, both 17, leaving a bookstore. Charlene approached the girls and said she had some prime marijuana that she was willing to share with them. The girls climbed into the back of the van and found themselves face-to-face with Gerald holding a pistol. Once again, Charlene drove while Gerald assaulted the girls in the back. When he was finished, Charlene drove to a secluded, wooded area. Gerald took the girls into the woods one at a time, along with a hammer and shovel. 3 months later, picnickers found the girls' remains in two shallow graves. We don't know for sure how Gerald killed them, but they both suffered fatal head injuries.
Yeah, I feel like him having a hammer is probably a clue.
Yeah. I want to know what it was about Charlene that had so many girls just like, yeah, I'll absolutely climb into the back of your van.
Well, she, I mean, didn't she, like, both of them were able to marry a handful of people each. So yeah. They were both, must have been charismatic.
Put on enough of a front for people.
Yeah. And she, like, didn't she say that, like, people at her job thought she was smart or something?
It was her father's business partners when she was younger.
And they thought she was smart, and they liked that.
Well-spoken, yeah.
So, it seems that people like her.
Yeah. Probably still a victim.
She's so... Lacey, she didn't... So far, I haven't heard her kill anyone.
You're not wrong.
So... Innocent victim here.
Not wrong. June 6, 1980... 2 months after Stacy and Karen were killed, the Gallegos picked up 21-year-old Linda Teresa Aguilar, who was hitchhiking in Oregon. Linda was 4 months pregnant. As Charlene drove, Gerald pulled out his gun and forced Linda into the back of the van and assaulted her. Her body was found on June 22nd, 2 days after her family reported her missing. Her skull had suffered a traumatic injury, but the sand found in her mouth, throat, and nose suggested that she had still been alive when she was buried.
Oh.
Yeah. I don't know if I feel like he probably thought she was dead because she had an injury to the skull and then buried her and she just was not quite.
I feel like most murderers don't check for a pulse.
Yeah, and his MO so far has been to beat people, sometimes shooting them afterwards, but like beating them to death
and then just leaving them.
Yeah.
Yeah.
On July 17th, 1980, only a month after killing Linda, the couple abducted 31-year-old Virginia Mochel. They frequently attended the bar where she worked as a bartender, and so they were familiar with her. And on this night, they took her from the parking lot. I might not have a picture of her.
Okay, I was going to say, this isn't who you said. Who is it?
Virginia Mochel.
Oh, okay.
After assaulting Virginia, Gerald forced her to beg for her life before strangling her. After he killed her, he tossed her body into a pond. She was found 3 months later. The couple's final victims were 22-year-old Craig Miller and his fiancée, 21-year-old Mary Elizabeth Sowers. On November 1st, 1980, the couple was leaving a frat party when Charlene pulled up next to them. Gerald got out of the van, brandishing his gun, and ordered them into the back. Once they arrived at a remote location, Gerald ordered Craig out of the vehicle and immediately shot him. After Gerald was back in the vehicle, Charlene drove them back to their own apartment. Gerald assaulted Mary for hours, after which he and Charlene took her to a remote location and he shot her 3 times at point-blank range. The problem was, Charlene and Gerald had grown reckless as they had moved their timelines up. When they abducted Craig Miller and Mary Beth Sowers, there was a witness.
When were they... Hmm? Sorry, I must have missed it, but when were they not reckless?
Well, I mean, they were more reckless with this one, I guess. This time there was a witness.
True, pay attention.
Yeah. I mean, it just seems like they're picking people up and taking them to, like, fields or... Like they're not hiding the bodies. They're not burying them. Well, they did bury the one.
Well, I think that maybe because everybody else, Charlene was able to lure into the van, so they went willingly. Whereas with this couple, they pulled up alongside of them, and Gerald hopped out with his gun and was like, "Get in the back." So a friend had left the same party.
Tired.
Yeah. A friend who had left the same party got a look at the license plate and called the police. The police used this information to arrest the couple on November 17th. So they started off with almost a year in between their crimes. Wait, hold on. It was September 1978 and then June 1979. And then April 1980, so it was like 9 months between each of those, but then June 1980, and then July 1980, and then November 1980. So the first couple were like 9 months out, and then just like every month or every month and a half. So, who do you think turned on who?
Well, Charlene is innocent, so she obviously turned on him. Because she was like, I'm a victim too.
He for sure turned on her.
Oh, I thought that we would agree. Oh, that's exciting. So one of you's wrong. Charlene quickly turned on Gerald.
Sorry. Oh, okay.
Quickly turned on Gerald, providing the police with crucial information in exchange for a reduced sentence.
Wow. Gerald,
the dominant force in their relationship, was furious at Charlene's betrayal, but it was clear that the prosecutors wanted the information she had to give.
I thought you were going to say, but it was cute that he thought he could trust her.
In one of her police interviews, she said, quote, "We had this sexual fantasy, see? So we just carried it out. I mean, like, it was easy and fun, and we really enjoyed it, so why shouldn't we do it?"
That's a very good point. She has a point.
One of your victims were, like, underage, first off.
That's the main issue.
You also were so kidnapping people.
Minor.
And minor then group. Murdering them.
Again.
The age thing is the worst. Bailey.
But it was fun, and they enjoyed it.
Bailey, it was their fantasy.
Oh.
And you really shouldn't shame them.
No.
You're right. That's my bad. I'm sorry.
Yes.
In 1983, Gerald was given the death penalty for the murders of Mary Elizabeth Sowers and Craig Miller. In 1984, he was given the same sentence for Karen Twiggs and Stacy Redican's murders, although his death sentence in those cases was later overturned. I don't know why. Charlene, despite her active role in the murders, managed to evade a death sentence by cooperating with police. By portraying herself as a victim of Gerald's manipulative control, she received a relatively light sentence of 16 years and 8 months.
Did she have an active role in the murders? Like, she never murdered anybody. She didn't murder anybody.
She did lure all of them into the vehicle and then did a lot of the driving while he was doing the raping.
How was she to know he was going to murder them, though?
I mean, that's fair.
I would say
each time could have been a new chance for him.
Yeah. After the fourth time, well, that's why she didn't lure the last couple in, because she was like, you know what?
She was like, you
I'm
keep telling
starting to
me it's gonna be
see,
better.
I'm starting to see a pattern here, and I
I was
don't
looking
think
for
that
some
we're just going
character
to give them a
growth.
ride home.
During her sentence, she studied psychology, business, and Icelandic literature. In an
That
interview,
is
Charlene claimed
quite a
that over
transcript.
time, she came to realize that she herself was a victim.
Right.
After serving her time, Charlene was released from prison in 1997 when she disappeared from the public eye. Gerald spent the rest of his days on death row, never facing execution. On July 18th, 2002, Gerald died in prison from cancer.
Oh no, that's so
But,
sad.
yeah, what of Charlene? Despite being a key player in the abduction and murder of 10 innocent people, she now lives her life in obscurity, free from the horrors of her past, at least in the eyes of the law. However, in 2013, she sat down for an interview with CBS News, despite having changed her name and claiming that she wanted nothing to do with her past. In the interview, she claimed that Gerald forced her to be his accomplice, and that she occasionally even tried to save the girls' lives.
Yes.
She says she doesn't know why Gerald never killed her. She claims that she now devotes 100% of her life to charity work to try to make up for her past.
Good.
He never killed her because he needed someone to drive.
It's hard to rape and drive at the same time.
Also, another little bit there, Bale. So when she was getting the victims in the vehicle, they came willingly. When he got the victims in the vehicle, he had to use a gun.
True.
And they got caught, and they had a witness.
Yeah, so I think that that's why he kept her around, because she was just really good.
She's so good at it. I have a nice little. The story of Gerald and Charlene Gallego serves as a stark reminder that sometimes the greatest monsters don't work alone. In their twisted bond, they found the ability to carry out unspeakable acts of cruelty, leaving behind a trail of death and destruction. No, that was the wrong word. Death and devastation.
She ruined it.
I did.
Yeah, ruined.
I was
My
about to
mouth
say
is
that
death
sounds
and
like the
destruction, but
intro to a
back of
book or
a.
something. Yeah.
Yeah.
Honestly, it was the back cover.
As far as Charlene giving this interview, she had to seek them out for the interview because she was like undercover, living somewhere new with a different name, hiding from her past. So she had to like contact them and be like, I'm Charlene Gallego.
Sorry, did
Let
she
for
wait for what? Did she wait for Gerald to die before she did that?
He was, but it wasn't like right after. He died in 2002 and she did her interview in 2013.
Maybe she needed
Maybe.
money.
I was gonna say maybe she just got bored.
Or that too.
I think that probably money. So my
Oh, fine.
theory, or I don't even know if I really even believe the theory. It's the only thing I could think of that would explain her behavior going from like a normal upbringing to like the sex craved person is
Head
that
trauma.
she had maybe been sexually assaulted at some point when she was like a teenager, and that was how she handled it. Because I don't know, everything was fine when she was a kid. And
Did
then just like when she was a
her
young
mom
adult.
die?
No, she was injured badly in a car accident, but
Okay.
she didn't die.
I
And then
wonder
at some
if.
point in high school, she started doing drugs and then became like a sex addict.
Yeah, the drugs could have been a coping mechanism too.
She should have just went into porn.
There
Oh. Yeah, I'm sure that they would have done tons of threesomes for her.
Yeah.
And she could have justified it to herself and been like, it's just
It's
a
just a
job.
job.
Lacey, I'm inclined to believe what your theory is, because it does seem like her behavior did like a
A
drastic
big
180
change.
there.
Yeah. And
And
I mean, that's a thing. That's how some victims cope.
yeah.
Yeah.
They end up with different addictions and stuff. So
And then
I could
like
see that being like a triggering event for
based on what I've learned from Law and Order SVU, I think it's most vic not most victims. Some victims become offenders themselves.
Yes.
That's what Law and Order told me. And he was just raised in a toxic house.
Yeah, he didn't have a whole lot of hope from the get-go.
Well, his main support system, his mom, was just a fucking bitch to him and abused him, so he never knew what love was.
Never knew. That was very
Or what,
deep.
like, a proper relationship should look like.
Proper, loving mother-son
Healthy love.
relationship.
Yeah, any version of relationship, I don't think he got a healthy
Yeah.
idea of. Those are the sex slave killers.
Okay.
When you told me their like name or like the sex slave killers, I thought that they would like be like keeping them.
That's what I thought was going to happen too. Because I heard of
But
them
they
as the
just
sex slave killers. And then
Yeah.
as I was reading the background, I got to the part where Gerald told Charlene he needed sex slaves to keep him happy. And I was like, here we go.
Yeah.
But I guess he just meant like just for like a couple hours at a time.
It seems like less sex slave and more of just like
I need to rape, like.
one night stand type situation. Like, because I think like the whole slave thing is that you keep them.
Yeah, and they
Yeah.
didn't keep them for very long.
Not at all long. Like, they didn't even leave the truck.
Yeah.
Or van or whatever
Man.
they were using.
Maybe they didn't have place to, like, keep them.
I mean, they had their apartment. They took their last one back to the apartment.
And they got caught,
Got
Lacey.
caught.
Yeah, but like, you need space for like.
Slaves.
I would think so.
Slaves.
Well, like, if you're in an apartment, you have like a lot of neighbors, and it's not like you have
It's true.
privacy, but it's not like privacy.
Right.
So.
Well, we can discuss the ins and outs of sex slaves.
The best way to keep your sex slaves.
Yes, at a different time.
Yeah.
Feels like not an appropriate setting.
Yes, you guys are really out of control today.
Oh my God, Lacey.
You're the one that's stealing people's episodes, Lacey.
You
That's true.
keep
I did that.
mentioning sex slaves, and it's getting concerning, Lacey.
Sorry. Well, that was sinister.
And we were sarcastic.
And we hope you keep listening.